Well, I believe we're ready for God's word today, and just want to point something out in the room is that there are many of us who have turned up in white tops today, maybe just slightly off-white as well, and we got the memo that this morning was a white day in church, and so a big well done to everyone. If you didn't get that memo, don't worry, there'll be another opportunity for you to hear the voice of God before you get dressed in the morning. And no, it's so great to be together. My privilege that I get to bring the word to us this morning. And just want to say that every time we open God's word, believe he can speak to us. And if we'll open our hearts and open our lives and open ourselves to his word, that he could speak into your life today, into a situation, into what you may be facing. And believing today that as I speak, that it won't just impact your today, but it'll impact your tomorrow and into your week today. And so let's be ready for God's word, and let's do that. And you can take notes as I'm speaking. The title of my message today is this: Stay in It. Stay in It. And I think the guys will put a QR code on the screen as well, or three QR codes on the screen, where you can grab the notes for my message on YouVersion and follow along with those notes. But I want to encourage you as well, on there you can even make your own notes. And you can do that as you follow along. Good. Everyone got it? Good. Okay. Everyone ready? Romans 4. I'm going to read 8 verses together. Romans 4, 13 to 21. And these are going to be our key scriptures for today. It says this: It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing, and the promise is worthless. Because the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believes, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. I find this an incredible moment, an incredible portion of scripture for us today that talks about Abraham being the father of faith. And not just the father of faith for those back then, but he's actually called the father of faith for each and every single one of us. What does that mean? It means that actually we have an example of faith through Abraham. That today we can look at Abraham's life and go, okay, how do I place my faith in God? I have a second title for you today. If you don't like my first title, you could just call it this: The Faith of Abraham. The Faith of Abraham. I've got into, and I love, like sports documentaries. Anyone with me? Like Drive to Survive? Okay, got some F1 fans in the place. I'm not even an F1 fan, but I love it. Okay, Point Break? Anyone? No tennis or couple? Anyone never raise their hand in church? Just show me. Everyone raises their hand in this church. And but my favorite obviously is around football, and it's All or Nothing. all or nothing documentary. And it gives you an insight into behind the scenes of everything that goes off. You, like with Drive to Survive, usually you just see the race, but actually you get a glimpse into the behind the scenes, the conversations that go on, the training that happens. Point Break, it's the same. You get a glimpse even into people's lives and into their lives and what's happening. All or Nothing, you get transported into training grounds and conversations between sporting directors and managers and all of these things, and you get a behind the scenes look. And my favorite moments are the behind the scenes look of team talks that we've seen a lot of. I guess the most famous team talks that we have in the current age is the team talk of an incredible manager called Neil Warnock. And I know some of you, that's just gone right over your head, but he's got some famous sayings, some that I cannot say on this stage. Okay. But one of his best sayings is this: you've got to enjoy it, but enjoy it by being disciplined. And I love this idea of motivational speeches. I love looking into speeches of Winston Churchill in the time of war and how he was able to communicate to a whole nation in that time and rally the nation together. I love motivational speakers, and football team talks are kind of like where I love to go. Why? Because I've been in that football environment. I've played in that football environment. I don't know if you know that, church, but I have played football with Jamie Vardy. Sorry, for everyone who's new doesn't know that that has happened in my life. But I love it because there are moments in sport where it looks like everything's going wrong, and yet it all turns around. You know, specifically in football, a team can be down 2-0 at half time, and then they come out and they win 3-2. And I'm like asking the question, what did the manager say? What is it that he said that actually brought those people to that place? I was thinking about church, and I was thinking about this idea of faith. I love preaching on faith. I love actually stirring faith and us getting greater faith and believing God for more. I love this idea of faith because Jesus talked about it so much. And even growing up as a kid, I grew up in church, and you hear messages of faith, and it's like this motivational speaking. It's like this moment where I can go out and I can achieve everything. I remember being a kid and hearing someone preaching really passionately about faith that can move mountains. And so we were on holiday once and I saw a mountain and I'm like this. And then I realized we were stood on the mountain, and if it moved, we were going to move with it. And I didn't know what was going to happen. It's like this faith of, it gives us Jedi powers in a sense. On holiday, when we used to go on holiday as kids, you'd get the pool and the pool would be there, and you'd remember the story of Peter walking on water, and you would be like, this is my time, it's my moment. You know, this is it, that I can do what Peter did and I can walk on water. God, I have the faith that I can walk on water. Actually, God, I have more faith. I'm going to run on the water. And so you would take a run up and you would wait and you would get ready and you would run. There's no water there, so I can't do it today. But every single time you'd drop in, and, you know, sometimes I'd get out and I'd think, why is it not working? Why is it not working? Do I not have enough faith? Is my faith not big enough? Do I not have enough faith to believe to walk on water? I guess we've all been in that place at times where we're believing for something. We're believing even by faith, but it's not happened. And it's moments where we ask the questions, did I not have enough faith? Did I do something wrong? Did I pray a prayer that wasn't quite right? And what happened? I'm believing. I am putting my faith in God, but it doesn't seem to be happening. You ever been there? Abraham is known as the father of faith. And like I said, I love these verses, but in verse 19 and 20, it tells us that without weakening in his faith, he did not waver through unbelief. And I guess if I can be honest and open with you today, through my journey as a follower of Jesus, I can hear verses like that, and many times I can switch off because I feel like I've weakened in my faith in moments. I knew you were going to go quiet on me at that moment. I feel like there have been moments where I believe, but maybe there's some element of unbelief in my life, that I've wavered in that belief, and I can switch off and I can move away. Maybe it's because of certain circumstance. Maybe it's because of something that's happening in my world. Maybe it's because I've been praying for this and it feels like I just keep praying, but it's not happening. It's not worked. And all of a sudden we hear of Abraham, who did not waver in his faith, as Paul writes it in Romans. He did not waver in his faith. He didn't waver through unbelief. He didn't weaken in his faith. And even in this moment, we can place a pressure on ourselves. We place a pressure on ourselves that our faith maybe needs to be stronger. We walk away from a meeting where someone has talked about faith that can move mountains, and it feels like it, and we've got to try and drum up our faith. We've got to try and get our faith. We've got to try and get it to a place where then God will move. Have you ever met those people in church life, and great people, but sometimes they're just weird? Don't nudge your neighbor. But those people who, like, you ask them a question and they deny the facts and they just say, no, that's not the fact. God's doing this. You know, like, let me give you an extreme example. Their leg got bitten off by a shark and you say, how's your leg? And they say, growing back by the faith of God. And they just will not admit the fact that it's happening. And I think sometimes we can even get into that world ourselves, that we don't admit the very thing that's going on. But admitting is the prerequisite to get help from God. Admitting, actually, I need help, is the prerequisite to get help from Jesus. But sometimes in this element of faith, it's like we don't say anything. We don't say we're struggling, because actually it becomes all about my faith. And phrases like, maybe I didn't have enough faith. Maybe there wasn't enough faith for me to move forward. Maybe there wasn't enough faith for me to see that happen. And I know what you're asking, but here in these verses, it says Abraham, the father of faith, he didn't waver in unbelief. He didn't weaken in his faith. Well, I want to argue with Paul a little bit, and I know why he's wrote this, but I want to argue with him because we're going to go back to the story. We're going to go back to the story in Genesis. Is that all right today? Genesis 17, verses 15 to 17. I'm just going to give you a highlighted moment in Abraham's story. He said this: God also said to Abraham — Abraham is 99 years of age at this point. He's been given the promise at 75. He's now 99, okay, and he's still not got a son. He has got a son, but he did that by his own accord, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But he says this: God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abraham fell face down. He laughed. Now, I'm not sure you should laugh in God's face. I'm not sure you should laugh when God tells you something, but he laughed. I'm not sure that looks like he's not wavering in some kind of faith. He doesn't believe. He says this: will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 19? It goes on, and Abraham is kind of like pleads with God, will you just not bless Ishmael, who is his son from another encounter, we'll call it, and who's his son in that moment. Will you not bless Ishmael? And he's saying, no, I'm going to bless Sarah. But here's this moment. Abraham laughs. And I think it's important for us to recognize today that faith is a journey. That faith, actually, our faith is a journey. Jesus put it like this: if you've got faith the size of a mustard seed, faith the size of a mustard seed, little faith. If you've got little faith, what do you do with it? You bring it to Jesus. If you've got a little bit of faith, you bring it to Jesus. You turned up in church today, you got a little bit of faith. Turn up with your little bit of faith. It might not look like much, but God can do a lot with a little bit of faith. God can do a lot as we turn up with a little bit of faith. So how do we, what do we learn, and what does this faith look like that Abraham has? And we'll journey through his story a little bit as we highlight a few of these things. The first thing is this: it's faith in his promise. Faith in God's promise. Faith in his promise. Let's start by telling us and realizing where faith comes from. Romans 10 verse 17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. The context actually of Romans is preaching. The very thing that is happening here is, it's this, the context is actually preaching. The word used actually, faith comes from hearing the word about Christ. There's two words that are used in the Bible. One is logos, which means the word of God. It's like the logic, it's theology. The second is rhema, which means a now word. It's a word for right now. And the word that is used in Romans 10, 17 is rhema, which means a word right now. That God has a word for you right now. That God has a word into a situation. God has a unique word for each and every single one of us. And so it's a faith in his promise. If we were to look at Hebrews 11, you have this hall, I like to call it the hall of faith. These people who had incredible, incredible faith. You've got Noah, who builds an ark. He builds an ark. God gives him all the specifics on how to build the ark, which tells me that Noah did not know how to build the ark, but he got a word from God. It wasn't that Noah had a great idea. Do you know what? I should build an ark. Because he didn't. God gave him a word. And what did Noah place his faith in as he's building the ark? That word from God. That word from God. Like Abraham is mentioned in those verses. Abraham has a word from God at 75 that he is going to be the father of many nations. He has not bared a child yet. Like, he's 75. He's old. Some of you don't want to admit it. But he's old. He's 75. He's got this promise from God. It's the promise from God. It wasn't that Abraham said at 75, oh, wouldn't it be great if me and Sarah had a child at 100 years old? Like now. No, Abraham's not even probably thinking about that. And yet, he has this word from God. I love it because actually, if you track Abraham's life, he places his faith in God's promises over and over again. There's a moment where there's Abraham and Lot, and Abraham's there, and God says, hey, pick up everything, grab everyone, pick up everything you've got and move. And so what does Abraham do? Well, I need to check out the place, make sure it's okay for us, and you know, make sure it's got a house, and, you know, it needs to have four bedrooms. You know, we need that spare room, need to turn one into a study and all of it. No, he goes. He goes, he's got a promise from God, and he places his faith in that promise. You see, I want to suggest to us today that faith is based on what God wants. Not on what we want. Like, it's a word of God from you, for you, from God. It's a word of God for you, that God has a word for you. God has a promise over your life. It tells us that God even places desires in our hearts, that it's this promise that he has. But here's my question for you today. Is your faith in his promise or in your wants? is my faith in his promise and what he has. You can open your Bible and you can see the promises of God over your life. You can see what God has called you and God has for you. But I also believe that God can give you a unique word and he can give you something that you can place your faith in today. So what is your faith in today? And I'm not saying don't pray for what you want. Like I pray, like Zion, our 10-year-old son, he prays every day to watch YouTube. That's what he wants. He does. Like I drive around in a Skoda, call it the family wagon, because it has to have 7 seats. Because we got 3 wild children, and if they sit in the back all in a row, oh my word. Like it's crazy in our car. But do you know what? It's not my dream car. Zion's dream car would be a Tesla. He'd pray for that. But that's a hope. My faith is in what he promises. Like, God hasn't promised me Lamborghini Diablo in yellow. Come on. 18-inch rims. Blacked out. Lord Jesus, you hear my heart. No, it's not faith in what I want. It's faith in his promise. Abraham had a faith in his promise. And so God has a word for you. God has something unique for you. God has a promise for your life. But here, stop copying the promises of others. Stop copying the promises of others. Maybe that's why every single summer we went on holiday, I couldn't walk on water because that was the promise, that was the calling from God for Peter. But for many of us, we're trying to walk on something that's somebody else's promise rather than the promise that God has for us. Place your faith in his promise for you. Place your faith in his promise for you. The onus for this is on us hearing his voice. Hearing his word, hearing his voice, that actually we hear God. We hear his voice. I've loved these 21 days. We're not quite there at 21 days, but I've loved these 21 days of prayer and fasting to get rid of distractions and to remove distractions in certain moments and to just pray to God, but even just moments where I've been silent or opened my Bible to hear what God is saying to me. You know, our prayer room on Wednesday mornings, there have been special moments where we've got multiple ways that we can pray, and we pray, you know, we put on a playlist for about 35 minutes and we say go and pray, and it's amazing to see people connect with God in many different ways, and we're all unique. We all connect with God in different ways, but I want to encourage you in this. You got to remove the distractions to connect with God. You got to remove the distractions to hear God's voice. You got to remove the distractions to begin to do that. Me and Debbie will be having a conversation in our car, okay? And we've got 3 big distractions in the back. And I say big, they're not that big. They're big for their age, 2 of them, but they're not that big. But they've got big voices. And me and Debbie were talking and they'll feel left out. And so all we hear from back at car is, Mommy! Mommy! Trying to have a conversation here, Silas. Yeah, but Mommy! Mommy! Is it important, Silas? Everything's important to them. And so you say, yes, Silas, and then we'll get, are you speaking in tongues, son? And you know what happens is our conversation gets stalled and we miss out on it because of a distraction. He's a nice distraction most of the time and we love him. But it's a distraction. And for some of us, it's not just a kid in the backseat of a car, but it's what we place in front of our eyes. It's what we place in our ears. It's what we're placing in our lives in moments that we need to get rid of the distractions, because it's on us to put ourselves in a place to hear God's voice. I love it because there's this moment with Peter where Peter walks on water. This moment where he walks on water that I was trying to do all of those holidays. He's walking on water And it's amazing, but the other guys are still in the boat. And sometimes we hear it preached that they didn't have much faith. I think they did. They had faith to stay in the boat. Because Jesus had told them to get in the boat and go to the other side. And some of them were fishermen, so they knew a storm was coming, but they had faith to get into the boat. And sometimes it takes as much faith to get out of the boat than it does to stay in the boat. To stay in it, because that's the promise from God for your life. Peter's like, I'm gonna show how good I am here. Jesus, if you say come, I'll come. He walks on the water. Amazing. Amazing moment. But the other guys, they stay in the boat. And it's faith to stay in the boat. So place your faith in his promise. The second thing is this that I realize in the story of Abraham is the faith to fall down and get back up. It's the faith to fall down and get back up. Abraham was 75 when he got given the promise. He was 75 when the promise got given to him. And at 99, we read the conversation that actually he's having this conversation with God again at 99 years of age. The promise has not come about. I don't know if you can do the math, but I did some quick math in my head right there. That's 24 years. He actually realizes that if it's going to happen, I'm going to be 100 and Sarah's going to be 90. So it's going to be 25 years. This was not a 5-minute faith. This was not a 5-minute quick fix, McDonald's drive-through prayer. Oh, I've received it. There we go. The promise has been delivered to me. I've got my Big Mac and I've got my fries. Here we go. Let's go. No, this was longevity. This was a willingness to fall down and get back up. And Abraham's faith journey is imperfect. Abraham's faith journey is imperfect. He actually makes an idol of this promise. And Abraham and Sarah got so impatient that Sarah comes to Abraham and says, hey, here's my friend Hagar. Why don't you sleep with her? And Abraham's like, well, I'm not sure. Maybe I could have faith for that. Maybe that could happen. And so he does. And conceive a son, and his name is Ishmael. And that stupid decision backfires. Though God is gracious, Ishmael becomes an incredible, incredible story. And God uses Ishmael, but it wrecks the relationship with Sarah for that time. And it wrecked it because he's constantly trying to help God out through this imperfect relationship and this imperfect faith that he has. You ever been there where you're walking along a promise and you think, oh, I'll just do that for God. I'll just do that. Maybe that's close enough. I'll just help God out. And so here he's 99 and he's laughing at God. And even though he keeps making mistakes, he keeps coming back to the promise. Even though he falls down, he keeps believing in the promise. He keeps leaning into the promise. He keeps believing God. He keeps doing it. Even though there are moments where he tries to step in and help God out, he still, when God comes to him and says, hey, no, Sarah is the one I'm going to bless, he leans again into that promise. It's imperfect, but that little bit of faith, they keep believing. They keep leaning into the promise. And Isaac is born. Isaac is born through Sarah, and it heals not only their marriage, it not only heals their marriage, but it also heals Abraham's life. You can read that along. And so along the journey of life, Abraham's faith grew. But it was a willingness to, I've fallen down, I've made a mistake, maybe I've not placed my trust in God, but I'm going to get back up and place, even if it's just a little bit of faith, I'm going to place it in God. I'm going to place it in Jesus. Even if it looks like I've made mistake after mistake after mistake, it doesn't matter. I'm going to place my faith in God. I love it because you get one of the last stories we hear of Abraham is a moment where he takes Isaac, his son. And in those days, there was a ritual of even sacrificing their sons. And so there's a moment where God calls him to sacrifice Isaac. And so he's walking him up a mountain. And Isaac says to him, you know, he knows we're going up the mountain to sacrifice something. And he says to him, where's the sacrifice? Dad, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says to Isaac, God will provide the sacrifice. Why? Because he grew in his faith. He knew God to be a gracious God. He knew God to be a good God. He knew God to do it, and so he does it. I love it because when you read the story, actually, God tells him to take him on a day, and it says about Abraham, he got up early that day. I think I'd have slept in that day. I'd have slept in that day. I'd have stayed in bed that day. But he just knew God is going to sort it. On the journey of learning to put your faith in God and trust God with all your heart, it's about not presuming and assuming, but listening to his voice. About listening to his voice. It's about actually consistency. Just as our lead pastor Paul said the other day, consistency is better than intensity. We have these moments of heightened faith and heightened moments where we have these incredible moments. But how many of us know sometimes we hit a high and then we can hit a real low? But I think there's something about consistent faith of just turning up. And even if that's my little bit of faith, I'm just going to turn up with my little bit of faith. I'm just going to turn up to God with my little bit of faith. Even if it's just for the 5 minutes in a morning, I'm going to turn up with my little bit of faith. I'm going to place my faith in his promises. And even if there are moments where I fall down, I'm going to get back up and place my faith again in God because he's a good God. Keep getting back up with the faith that you have today. Faith to fall down and get back up. The last thing, and the team are going to come back. Don't get distracted by them. They're amazing. We love them, those. Is this the basis of faith is grace. The basis of faith is grace. I love this because in those Romans verses, it tells us that Abraham believed by faith and it was by grace that we see it's the same grace to save everyone. It takes the same grace to save each and every one of us. That it's not that somebody else needs more grace, it's the same grace to save each and every single one of us. And here's what I've come to realize in my journey with God is that it's not more about how much faith I have in God. It's about how much grace God has for me. That it's how much grace God has for my life. It's not about me turning up with all of my faith at times. No, I can turn up with my little bit of faith, but God in his grace can work through that little bit of faith. That God, through my mistakes and even me just leaning into that faith, he can work through it and he can move through it through his grace. It's about his grace. I was looking through the Gospels at this because I've even been in the camp at times where I've spoken about how Jesus talks about, oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. And I went back through and was looking through, I think it was the Gospel of Matthew, and I was looking through and there's four moments where Jesus talks to the disciples, talks to people, and he says, oh, you of little faith. And he says this, he talks about how even the grass is clothed. How much more would he clothe us? Oh, you of little faith. And I think it's a moment where Jesus is saying, hey, yeah, you might have little faith, but there's grace for this. There's grace for this, that I'll clothe you because I love you. One of the moments is in a storm. They're hit by a storm and Jesus gets up and the disciples are in panic. They're in this storm. They're in the midst of this storm. And Jesus is in their boat. And they kind of call upon him, wake him up. And he comes forward. And he says, oh, you of little faith. And then he calms the storm. Not because they had great faith that he would calm the storm. No, they had a little bit of faith. They had a little bit of faith. That's his grace at work. That even in the midst of the storm, they might not have had the faith, but that little bit of faith, and he calmed the storm through his grace. There's the moment, we've talked about it, Peter walking on water, and he says to Peter, oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. There's this moment of grace where he lifts Peter out of the water, and then there's this moment where they begin to talk about the yeast of the Pharisees and all of this kind of stuff. And all Jesus was talking about was bread, but they're trying to read this into something far greater and something. And again, he says, oh, you of little faith. But here's what I realized. No matter how many times he said to his disciples, oh, you of little faith, he kept journeying with them. He kept walking with them. He kept walking forward with them. And that actually he kept moving forward with them. Why? Because this faith is a journey. Faith, placing your faith in God, is a journey. And I love the story where he says, faith the size of a mustard seed can throw a mountain into the sea. Even today, you might have turned up here and you might be thinking, well, I've maybe only got a little bit of faith. Good. God can use it. He can work through it. I talked right at the start how I love thinking about halftime team talks. And one of the greatest, I was thinking about this, one of the best halftime team talks I was a part of was a moment we were 3-0 down at halftime and everything looked lost. And the team I was playing for at the time, we were going to win the league, and we'd gone through a difficult spell. And I'm thinking the managers are going to come in here and they're going to be angry. Who knows? I had a manager once, and like Lucy talked in her offering about food, so I'm going to put you off your dinner right now. But I had a manager once who used to do team talks and be getting undressed while he was doing team talks. Like crazy. There'd be moments, right? He was player manager. It would be the end of the game. He'd have his shin pads on and his socks pulled up. His football boots still on, but he'd already taken his top off. He'd already taken his shorts. It was like, what am I watching here? This is crazy. Anyway, that's a side note. But one of the best, because that was probably one of the worst traumatic experience. I just needed to share that with you. One of the best was this moment we were 3-0 down. We ended up winning the game 4-3 and we'd been going through a difficult spell. But I still remember the words the manager said. He said, stay in it because you don't know what will happen. My encouragement to you today is stay in it, because who knows what God could do? Who knows what God could do as you stay in it? You see it over Abraham's life, 25 years, he stayed in it. He made mistakes, he stayed in it. There were moments of where I'm not sure this is going to happen. Stay in it. I got a little bit of faith today, God. Stay in it. Stay in it today, because you don't know what God might do. Stay in his grace, because it's in his grace you receive everything that you need. Stay in his presence, because you do not know what God might do. Stay in it today, because it's about his grace. It's all based on the grace of Jesus. Last scriptures for us today, Mark 9, 20 to 25. So they brought him, this is a boy with an evil spirit. It says this, when they brought him, when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into the convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us if you can, said Jesus. Everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I don't know, but I think there are some people in this place today, many of us here today, even watching online, and that would be your prayer. I do believe, but God, would you help me overcome my unbelief? I do believe today that God, you can do mighty things, but would you help me today to overcome my unbelief today? That today, as you stay in his grace, you can realize that his grace is good for you, has great things in store for you. And maybe today that is your prayer. God, I believe, but would you help my unbelief? Come on, let's all stand together this moment. Aren't you thankful today that it's not all on you? It's not all on you. Come on, let's take a moment to thank God for His grace. We thank You that You are God. We thank You that You care. We thank You that You intervene. And today we come, and no matter the size of our faith, we come before You and we bring it and we place our belief and our trust in You today. We place it in You today, God. We believe in You, God. Would You help us overcome our unbelief? We thank You for Your grace that is the basis of our faith. And we place our trust in Your grace, in Your goodness. We thank You, Jesus.